Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come into the presence of a holy God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us into all truth tonight. We thank you that tonight heaven will kiss earth on our behalf. Lord, as we come before you, we bow our heads and our hearts, and we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us for all sins known and unknown, sins of the heart and the mouth and the flesh, and sins of omission and commission. And Father, as far as you are concerned, you have removed our transgressions as far from us as the east is from the west. And we thank you, Lord, that though our sins were of scarlet, you have made us white as snow. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and lead us and guide us into all truth tonight, because where two or more are gathered, you are in the midst of us. And we thank you that if two touch and agree, it shall be given to them by our Father that is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We thank you that angels are in the midst of us, and signs and wonders will follow the spoken word of God. And we commit this time to you tonight, Lord, that it would be all of you and none of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. So I have been praying all day this morning. I was praying up this morning, and if I can find the right document here, the Lord has put some things on my heart for your church, and I wanted to share them with you. And, you know, it's really an exciting time to be alive. And we see so many things going on in the earth, and a lot of people are in fear, or you have groups of people that just want the rapture to occur so we can be out of here. But there's a work that we have to be doing before that occurs. And that work is being about our Father's business. And hello, I'm seeing new people log in. God bless you all. And, you know, the Lord, about maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago, I ended up, I was in a vision. I was laying out before the Lord, and a lot of times I will just lay prostrate before God. And I had my face down, and I'm in deep, deep worship. And I saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when I saw the table, it was beautiful. There were these, if you've ever seen the royal guards on a royal wedding, and they stand outside the church and they have the swords crossed like this, on both sides of the wedding supper, on that table were the royal guards with the swords over the table. And I saw some of the seats were empty at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at the end of the table, I saw the face of Jesus, and he said, "Bid them to come." And after he said, "Bid them to come," I heard and saw this huge brown door slam, a wooden door, and it was so loud, so heavy, and it slammed shut. And as I heard that in my spirit, I just knew that there was going to be a time that we were entering into where the Lord is saying to go get them, you know, to go out into the fields because the harvest is ripe. And as we go out and do these things and you really fill up that marriage supper, that table for the Lord, you know, there's going to be great harvest and great blessing that we're heading into. But when that door slammed, you know, and I heard about that in scripture before, and we'll get into that in a second. But when that door slammed, I knew that there will be a time it's going to be cut off. And those that are in sin will continue in sin, and they'll just remain living, you know, not for the Lord. And then some in gross darkness will continue in their darkness. And the next thing after I saw that door slam was the rapture of the church. And it was the most glorious sight. And I saw the church lifted up to heaven. And as we were all going up, I mean, within a second, like a blink of an eye, we are transformed into that transformed body, that glorified body. We were pure and just childlike, like that innocence and purity of a child, as we were just transformed as we were being raptured. The next vision I saw after that, I saw the rider on the white horse, and he was racing across the earth And I saw the hooves of the horse were trampling things on this earth. And demons were released. It was so evil, so demonic, that people do not want to be here after the rapture. And then after that, I saw the Lord coming back with all of us into the earth for that millennial reign. And everything was pure. It was cleansed. And there was another piece after that. And I don't want to miss that because, you know, and we want to pray that the enemy doesn't try to get into this. But when we came back to the earth, I mean, it was just glorious. And I want to find that for you. Hold on one second. I know I pulled that out earlier so I could get prepared for you guys, and now I'm trying to find it. I have no idea where did that go? Forgive me, guys. I lost one of my documents here. Oh, here it is. Okay. And so when we ended up, and that was a section that I saw, was after the rapture of the church, and after, you know, there was some trampling underfoot of, you know, the rider on the white horse, his name is Righteous, written on his thigh. And we know that that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. After he came and really there was a lot of judgment on this earth, the Lord, we descended with him back for that millennial reign, and there was blue skies and sunshine, and Jesus came back to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And at that point, I saw the earth and the two angels in golden gowns, and they were circling the earth, blowing their trumpets. And it was just two massive angels all in gold circling the earth, blowing trumpets as we were coming back to reign on the earth. And the scriptures I want to read to you before we go into that, and it confirms, you know, what the Lord showed me in that vision. And it's really important that we get about souls in this season. And the first scripture was the parable of the great banquet. And this was in Luke 14, 15 through 24. And if you understand scripture, a lot of times it is not written in chronological order. And so we have to be mindful of that. And so in Luke 14, 15 to 24, it reads the parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' And the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" And so that was initially what I saw, was the marriage supper of the Lamb that we find in Luke 14. And if you study scripture, and it, you know, there's times that things, the way the prophetic is, there are some things that are in chronological order. There are some things that are not. We have to pay attention to those. And there's things where it will just go back and forth into chronological and then not, even in the midst of the scriptures. And so in Luke 13, 22 to 27, are you guys still there? Okay, I know it's saying my internet is having issues here. In Luke 22 to 27, it says the narrow way. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and that's what I saw, you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught me in our streets. But he will say, I will tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And so we have to be mindful of the times and the seasons that we're in, that there will come a time that, you know, that salvation call is going to, that door is going to close. And we have to be so serious, because eternity is a long time for people to be lost, for them to even be wrong about their salvation. And there are times with interactions, and I will tell you, I don't minister to everybody. I'm led by the Spirit of God. If the Lord has me speak and minister to somebody, I will. If not, I'll just kind of sow a seed and let them know I'm a believer. Because, you know, Jesus said that no one can come to the Father unless he draws them. So we have to be sensitive to the Lord. We have to be mindful of his opportunities he's presenting for salvation for people, and be open and willing to give an account, you know, as soon as, you know, we're interacting with these people that are not saved, to bring them into the kingdom of God. And I was praying for you all, because there is a fire of God on your church. And, you know, to really just be a revival hub in the Philippines. And as I was preparing for this, you know, there was a lot of things the Lord was showing me for you all, not only for, you know, salvation and evangelism in your church, but also for economic increase, for entrepreneurship, for technologies, for business. To really cultivate what's inside of you all so that you can be a blessing, so you can do the work of the gospel. And so there's a lot of things that are going to begin to accelerate amongst you, that you're going to see even unfold this year. And another portion that I wanted to share with you, well, it's actually this afternoon there, was the Lord had me researching in Ephesians 2:10. And it talks about the good works that we are called to do as a body of Christ. And in there, let me find it. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And in the Greek, the word for works is ergon, and it means that you are created for, and it's not what you think. I mean, a lot of times from the pulpit, it's taught that we are created for charitable works and serving. And, you know, that's great. But if you don't do the context of works, you won't have the ability or the platform to do what you're fully able to do. And it's going to lead to frustration. But the word works, translated in the Greek to the word ergon, means you are created for salvation, which is number one, a life dedicated to God in Christ, a job, employment, business, enterprise, conglomeration, an idea, a product, an undertaking, anything creative with a mind, arts, hand, industry, etc. And it also says that the word ergon means to do works the same as to or like those of another, to follow in another's example. And they gave an example of Abraham, which has to do with not only leadership, but also discipleship. And as we are discipled by the fivefold ministry, having accountability, we need to disciple others, because, you know, there's an error in the church today. And you'll notice that you have a lot of these evangelists, and they're out there and they're having these massive evangelist calls, and tens of thousands of people will get saved and they go back out into the world. They tell everybody they're Christians, I'm saved, but they're still living in the same sin as when Jesus found them. And the problem with that is that we know that we're to work out our salvation, you know, with fear and trembling. But if nobody is discipling them, they go back out. Now I'm a Christian, but I'm in fornication. I'm in adultery. I'm committing acts of murder. I'm dealing drugs. And people cannot differentiate the real Christians from those that, you know, are trying to live either under the greasy grace doctrine that once saved, always saved, you know, we're saved by the grace of God, but yet we can go out and do anything. And that's not true. That's error. Because the Christ demands sacrifice. The cross demands sacrifice. The cross demands us to live for Christ, to sacrifice our lives, to lay down our will, our flesh, our desires, so that we are living for Him. And when we get into these situations where we have the fivefold ministry so splintered, and you'll notice that in the world today, that you'll have an evangelist out there, and that's all they do is they go across the nations and they evangelize, but they're not connected up with the local church, with a fivefold ministry that everybody is supplying their part. And so people are getting saved, going back out into the world, living the same way. And is their salvation secure? Did they really get their life turned around, or was it just a prayer? And then they go back to living the way that they were, which is worldly. And that's very dangerous. And we need to have the fivefold connected back up, so that those that are evangelizing, you're bringing them back into the fold so that they can be discipled and prayed for and they be taught the word. And it's very important to come into that. And let me go into here a second. And, you know, and with that, with the discipleship, you know, when they were talking about the word ergon, which has to do with Abraham and the leadership, the discipleship, you know, it's very important that when, you know, because one thing the Lord was showing me today for you all is that there is going to be such evangelism coming from your ministry throughout the Philippines and even globally and through your social media accounts, you know, where anything that you guys can get on, pray about it. But if you're on social media, use it for the glory of God. If you do video channels on YouTube, do it for the glory of God and start reaching people. But you also want to encourage discipleship and encourage accountability, you know, accountability with, you know, pastoral oversight and covering and pastoral accountability where you're holding your life out, being raised up in your gifts, and really being taught how to live for Christ. And it's very important to have that connection after salvation, because there is going to be so many souls, and I was seeing that in the spirit today with you all, that there's going to be such salvation that goes out there that you want to make sure that you continue to disciple, continue to love people into the kingdom of God so that they can start getting right. I will tell you that when I first gave my heart to the Lord, and I will share my testimony, I used to work for a modeling agency in Syracuse, New York, and that was 20 some years ago. And I was working at an automobile show, and, you know, and this was before I was saved. You know, I was out one night with a girlfriend, and we had drinking some alcohol. And what ended up happening was there was an ex-linebacker from Buffalo Bills, the football team. And he was getting a little bit aggressive. Him and his friend ended up chasing my girlfriend and I down a street. I mean, we got lost in Buffalo, New York. I lost a heel. We're jumping over fences, scared to death that these guys were going to rape us or kill us. And I get back to my hotel room and I just started crying. And I said, God, thank you for sparing us tonight. You know, whatever you want, I'll do. Because I just felt like if it wasn't for the hand of God on us that night, we would not have escaped what those men had intended. You know, they're heavily intoxicated. And I wasn't a Christian at the time. So I'm in bed that night and tears are down my cheek and I'm crying and asking the Lord to forgive me. I shouldn't have been out there that night, and whatever He wants, I'll do. And 3 days later, I got invited to a church. And I will tell you, it took a while for my discipleship process. I wasn't one of those that gets, you know, radically saved, on fire for the Lord, and everything is just flushed out of my life. That wasn't the case. What happened with me was that, you know, I had recommitted my life to Christ and coming into the church. I mean, and it was a process. I mean, but I had so many people in that church that loved me where I was at, and they helped disciple me and to get me raised up in Christ. And so it's so important to be patient with people, to love them, you know, to speak truth and love, to help, you know, bring them in so that they're walking with the Lord. But that accountability provides for that, where you begin to open up communications, where you can confront people, you know, if they're, you know, if you need to confront people and about sin and stuff in their life, you want to have that healthy relationship and communication with each other in the body of Christ that we can hold each other accountable. And I think that that's very important. And so back into this scripture with the Aragon, the works that you are created for, you know, when we do go into the context of that, of being created for business and conglomeration and enterprise, anything to do with your arts, hands, minds, ideas, which can get into technologies, entrepreneurship. That those are some of the works that God has created all of us to do, because we are so packed full of gifts. And a lot of times you're going to find in the churches that they tell you to do the charitable works, but you can't do the charitable works if you're neglecting and negating, not cultivating the personal gifts within you that are to be a blessing to the church. And so that's what I wanted to share with you. And the other thing that the Lord has placed on my heart for the church is that when you have, you know, it's in Luke 19:13. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. So we're finding that in the midst of all of this stuff, you're having groups of people that, you know, really totally just want to be out of here. They want the rapture of the church to occur. But there's so much work that has to be done. And Jesus said, you know, the problem with that mentality is that, you know, it's rapture ready. You know, we're just ready to go. You're finding that people don't want to do the work of Christ. They don't want to continue to walk in the promises of God or even be in faith. They just want to give up and get ready to go out of here. But in Luke 19:13, when Jesus called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The word occupy in the Greek is pragmatuomai, and it means to be occupied, to carry on business. The etymology of the origin of the word occupy, and it's from the mid 14th century where we get that word. It means to take possession of and to retain or keep. It means to take up space or room. It means to employ or occupy, to hold and to seize. And directly from the Latin, it means to take over. It means to take into possession, to possess, to occupy, to grasp, to seize. And in Matthew 11:12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So this is what the Lord is saying. When he is saying, occupy until I come, we are to take possession of the land. We are to take up space, take up room, take over, seize, take into possession, and to grasp hold of things for the kingdom of God. And in Deuteronomy 1:8, it says, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And the word the Lord gave me is that you are not a victim of living in a third world country. Your circumstances and geolocation is subject to the kingdom of God, as God is no respecter of persons. And in Acts 10:34-35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And it is written in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. So it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what circumstances that you find yourselves in, what nations you find yourselves in. It doesn't matter if we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, you are not subject to those things. You are subject to the word of God. And everything that is named in the earth, under the earth, and in the heavens must bow its knee to the name, the authority, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you, with your environment, with your anointing, you are to change the environment that is around you. You are to change and be a catalyst for the kingdom to manifest in the Philippines, in your regions, in your territories, and to ripple out from that. And one thing I will tell you that I have noticed with the anointing, and I believe God for this, is because some people fear you know, going out into places where there's violence, you know, this is going on, that is going on. And, you know, we ought not to be like that, because we have to understand who we are and whose we are. Can you hear me? Okay. But you have to understand who you are and whose you are. And you have to understand the authority that has been given to you through the name of Jesus Christ, that you are his ambassadors in the earth, that you are catalysts, that you are game changers, that when you walk into a place, I don't care if there's violence, that has got to stop, because you are bringing that anointing in with you. You have the pandemic going on. No sickness nor disease shall come near your tent. You are the carriers of the light of God. You are carriers of the Spirit of God. And that means that where the light is, the darkness cannot dwell. That when you are carriers of his light, darkness has to flee. When you go into situations, demons have to go. And so that is what the Lord wanted me to minister to you all today, that there is a fresh wind and a fresh fire coming to your church, to your region. And it is for souls. It is for evangelism. It is for increase, and it is for territorial possession. The Lord is placing a territorial anointing upon you even as I speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for that. We bless you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. And Father, we just pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I lift up this church to you, Harvest for Christ. I lift up these leaders to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the Shekinah glory of God to be released in this house. I thank you, Father, that it is a beacon and a light, Father, to a dark area, to a dark region, to a dark nation, Lord God, that it is a beacon of hope and light and truth and love. I thank you, Father, in the name and blood of Jesus Christ, that, Lord God, that even as in this church, Father, is a generous church, it is a giving church, and everyone gives so that no one has a need, that just like in the book of Acts, God, that you pour out your Spirit, Lord God, that you pour out, Father, even the tongues, the flames of fire upon the heads of those in this church, in this house. That, Lord God, that, Father, not only baptism by water, but baptism by fire. That the fire of God would be in this place for healing and deliverance. That the minute people walk in, that deliverance begins to occur. That anything that they were struggling with, anything that they were held in bondage to, Father, must flee as they walk into this church, Lord God. And I thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, for these leaders that are here, that you increase the anointing upon them, that the fire of God and the favor of God is increased upon them, that you, Lord God, place a fiery wall of protection around them, and you are the glory within. I thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises is condemned in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. That is their heritage as the saints of the Most High God. Father, I speak provision over them. I'm seeing ravens in the spirit, Lord. Send the ravens, Lord God. And that tells me that there's an Elijah anointing upon this church for a prophetic call to this church, Lord. And Father, I thank you in the name and blood of Jesus Christ that provision comes from the north, south, east, and west into this house. Father, they are a conduit of your blessing. And I thank you, Father, that you continue to supply every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, that you would extend their tent cords, Lord, that they would move to the right and to the left. And I release that territorial anointing upon them now, that they would take possession, that they would take land, that they would take souls for Christ. Father, open up the floodgates, open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings that, Lord God, they're unable to contain. Father, stir up the gifts, talents, abilities within them, Lord God. And Father, I'm reminded, let me look this up a second. There is a scripture, glory to God. It is, let me see the first. That's not the chapter I'm looking for. Bear with me. It might be, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 12. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about, and this is 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking a different kind of tongues. And still another, the interpretation in tongues. All these things are the work of one in the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each of them just as he determines. And Father, I pray right now that, Lord God, that you stir up the spiritual gifts, Father, and the leaders in this church. Stir up, Father, those power gifts. Stir up those gifts, Father, that will cause the miraculous signs and wonders that will lead those into the church, Father God. We pray, Lord, in the name and blood of Jesus, Father, for gifts of special faith, for gifts of healing, gifts of deliverance, gifts of miracles, Lord God, that, Father, as they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And, Father, we thank you and praise you for that, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, it is Christ in them, the hope of glory, that it is all of you and none of them. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, just like the Apostle Paul, when he said that I beat my flesh daily, that, Father, we beat our flesh daily, that we crucify our flesh, that we die to self, because that when there is less of us, Lord, it is more of you in us and through us. So, Father, I pray for this church. I pray for these leaders, that you stir up the fire within them, that you fan the flames of fire within them, that, Lord God, that you make them contagious, not with coronavirus, but contagious with Christianity, contagious with the gospel, Lord God. And, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. I thank you, Father God, that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I thank you that you begin to stir up the prayer in this house, in the intercession in this house, in the warring in this house, Father. And I'm seeing that. And the one thing that's coming to me is that when we used to live near Albany, New York, we were on the Hudson River. And because there are so many PCPs and chemicals in the river, they have these ships that are like machines and they're dredging tools. And so what they do is they go through the river and they dredge up all the muck on the bottom and they stir it up and stir it up and stir it up so that I can come to the surface and they can clean the river. And I'm seeing that as you guys are praying, I'm seeing you being that dredging tool. I'm seeing you stirring that stuff, getting that, those hard things that you have dealt with in that nation, those hard things you have dealt with in that region, the poverty, the drugs, the prostitution, the spiritual strongholds. I'm seeing as you continue to pray and war that there is going to be breakthrough, that those dredging tools are going to start breaking up that hard ground, that stuff that doesn't want to move. And Father, I thank you for releasing them tonight, that Father, that you put that anointing on them, that they are the rock, or they are the hammer that breaks the rocks to pieces. that, Lord God, let them break those hard places. Let them tear down those strongholds. And Father, we pray for them right now. We pray for the Philippines right now. And we bind up every principality, every power, every wicked spirit in high places. Father, we bind up the strong man, Lord God, and we plunder his goods. We command you, Satan, to take your hands off of this nation. Take your hands off of this region. You loose the people of God now in the name of blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that the body of Christ in that area begins to be strengthened and reinforced, begins to be purified. Holiness, righteousness, purity, Lord God, a hunger for you, a hunger for your presence, a hunger for your word, that they would know who they are and whose they are, that they would unite and they would take possession of that nation for Christ, a whole nation. You said in your word, Lord, can a nation be saved in a day? So, Father, we are standing on your word that a nation can be saved in a day, that we take nations for Christ, and we bless you for it. Father, reinforce them. Strengthen them, Lord God. And Father, it is written in your word that you said that when they went out, Lord, that there was none sick or weak or feeble among them. So Father, we pray right now for everybody at the Harvest for Christ Church. We thank you, Lord God, for your healing from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. We bind up viruses, flus, colds, stomach bugs, you know, coronavirus, anything that is trying to come upon them, heart disease, stroke, kidney issues, Lord God, anything to do with the functioning organs, Lord God, we speak healing right now in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that their bodies line up and function in the manner that you have created them to. We speak to their immune systems and we command them to rise up and to be strong in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, right now that, Lord God, that by your stripes they were healed. I'm seeing somebody getting new lungs. I don't know who that is, but I'm seeing it's not full lung cancer, but there's something, and I can't think of the word with the lungs. It's a lung disease. I'm seeing that because I'm seeing like the spots all over the lung. So Father, we speak healing. We thank you for those new lungs. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, you said that we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And there is neither time nor space in the spirit. And we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover right now in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you said that you sent forth your word and you deliver them. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that, Father, that we have authority over sickness and disease. And we bind up all sickness, all disease. We bind up all maladies, infirmities, cancers, lung disease, heart disease, respiratory distress. Father, we thank you right now that, Lord God, that your healing anointing flows from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And I pray, Father God, that, Lord, it's just falling off them, Lord. I pray as some go to sleep tonight, Father, they wake up and they are completely healed and restored. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that they're coming out. There is none sick or weak or feeble among any of them, but they are strengthened in the power of your might. And we bless your name for that, God. It is the blood of Emmanuel running through their veins. And that blood purifies any toxins, any botulinisms, any parasites, any infections, Father. It is your blood coursing through their veins. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ over this church, over these leaders, over the congregation, Lord God, that you strengthen them for the work of Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you release every necessary resource for your work. Let it come in abundance and in advance. And let them not worry where it's coming from, but it shall surely come. Father, we bless you. We worship you today, Father. We thank you for sudden turnarounds and changes, transformations. We thank you that you restore the lives of your people. There are many that have been standing in faith for years on your promises. We pray for a release now. Satan, take your hands off the promises of God concerning his children. Father, we pray for Christian marriages. We pray, Lord God, that you begin to bring together those, Father, for your purposes. We thank you for kingdom families. We thank you that you are bringing the prodigals home. There are those, Father, that are praying for family member salvation. Father, we command them to come into the kingdom tonight, that you send your angels to come. We bind up all mind-blinding demons, deaf, dumb, and blind spirits, spirits of stupor, spirits of deception that has blinded them. Loose them now and let them come into the kingdom. We call those that are backsliding back home. We call the prodigals, come home. There are some praying for children. They're coming in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Father, send harvesters across their paths. You know, Lord God, what it's going to take to bring them to you. And we pray, Father, that that mechanism, Father, to bring them into your kingdom is released. We thank you no hurt, harm, nor danger shall come near our families or our seed. But we thank you that that mechanism that will bring them to you is going to be pulled, that lever, Lord God. We thank you for souls. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for increasing the family of God. We thank you that that marriage table shall be filled to the glory of God. Father, I release a breaker anointing upon this church that the minute they pray, it breaks. The minute they pray, it breaks, Lord God. Holy Spirit, lead them as they pray. Give them the utterance. And we thank you for that, Lord God. I'm seeing Michael the Archangel standing behind Pastor Larry with a sword and a shield. Father, I thank you for that angel protecting him. I thank you, Father, that he is warring on his behalf. He has seen your labor, your sacrifice. He has seen everything that you have tried to continue to press through, though opposition and storms and being tossed. But the deliverer is here. The breakthrough is here. Glory to God. Your work has not been in vain. And everything that you have been building and building and building, and you have sown a lot and you have reaped little, but the tables are turning and you shall reap much, says the Lord. Glory to God. But I'm seeing that all of those seeds, everything that you have been building and building and building and building, and even though you don't see it with your natural eye, it is working a great harvest behind the scenes. And suddenly, when that veil is pulled back, you're going to see it, and you're going to see it, and you're going to see it, and it's going to be released. Glory to God. Father, take the weight off of this man's shoulders, the burdens that he carries, Father, the heart cries, the aches and pains, the hurting for wanting to see the change, Lord. Let him see the desires of his heart come to pass. Roll away the stone. And I'm seeing that. Roll away the stone. And I thank you, Father, that, Lord, there is a stone. There is this thing in front of him that he has not seen, that the resurrection power is at work. But Father, that veil is going to be removed so that he can see clearly what you have been doing behind the scenes in preparation for what he's about to walk into and embark upon. Glory to God. Father, thank you for him being a catalyst and a change agent in that nation, in that region, and continue to increase him, bless him more and more. Bless him and his wife, Lord God. Bless their families. We pray, Father, for just the family unity, the family love, the family blessing, the provision, Father, the increase, the anointing. We pray, Father, for all the families there. just for unity, for blessing, that they would truly see the hand of God move concerning their heart's cries, that you would encourage each and every one, Father, in this room, that they would see you and they would know you in the power of your resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm seeing a male in the spirit, and I believe he's either in this room or on the Zoom. And the Lord, I'm seeing you starting a car detailing business. I don't know if you have one or if it's been a desire, but I'm seeing that. I'm seeing the marketplace. I'm seeing art. I'm seeing textiles going forth from this place. Father, bless them. Give them ideas and witty inventions, Lord God. Father, go before them and, Lord, bring your blessing that is without toil. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm seeing that there has been a darkness over that region in the clouds, and I'm seeing that there's a crack and the sun is starting to shine down and it's going to open more and more. Thank you for open heavens, Lord God. I'm seeing that I'm seeing gangs and I'm seeing drugs. And I don't know, but I'm seeing men from the church ministering to them. And I don't know if it's on the street or if they're going to come in, be led by the Spirit of God, and don't go anywhere. He's not telling you to go. But I'm seeing entire gangs coming into the kingdom of God. I'm seeing people that have been dealing drugs, getting saved and on fire for God, and even pulling others out of those drug gangs and out of the gangs. Because we know that there's people that are running drugs that are not in gangs. But I'm seeing that there is a strong calling for that, for delivering people that are dealing drugs and addicted to drugs and those that are in gangs. The other thing that I'm seeing is the women in prostitution. And I'm seeing some women in this church. And pray about this, because I don't know how the Lord's going to have this do, but I see some of these women coming in and being discipled by the women in the church and surrendering their hearts and lives and living pure and learning how to create revenue that is not ungodly, but a godly and a righteous income. And so, Lord, begin to prepare them, begin to show them the strategies for this, because I'm not getting a sense, you know, to go out. I feel like there needs to be some prayer over this first, and the Lord's going to show you how to bring that harvest of those souls into the kingdom. Glory to God. I'm seeing that there is going to be political influence coming from this church. And I don't know, like here we have mayors and governors, and I don't know how the political system is set up for that there, but I'm seeing those two type levels on people that are lawmakers, on people that are in law enforcement, you know, whether there's mayors or governors over region, but having influence with them for the gospel and helping to change laws. Thank you, Lord. Father, release the anointing of Daniel upon this house, Father, to get laws changed for the kingdom of God. You know, and one thing I keep seeing in the spirit is that your church is a church that really lives on its knees, and God is going to honor and bless that, because he says what you do in private shall be rewarded openly. So know that, and I'm starting to get a little emotional here, because it's like I keep seeing all of you on your knees in that church, some praying and even just crying to God, He sees that, and he's going to answer those things openly. So be encouraged with that. Because you're not hidden from God's reach, and your prayers have come up to the ears of God. So be encouraged with that tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. You know, one thing I want to encourage you to do, it was another scripture that the Lord had put in there, is to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And one tool that I use is blueletterbible.org. When you go on there, it has got, all you have to do is put a verse in or a word from the Bible. It will pull up every verse that that word is in. So if you put up like the salvation, you put in the word salvation, it's going to come up every verse in the Bible with that word. But it is a great study tool where you can actually go back into the Greek and the Hebrew to find the actual contextual meaning of scripture. Because if you don't have the context right, if you don't know who the audience was, who the speaker was, what was the purpose of why it was written or why certain things were addressed, if we don't know the full context of the word, the application is going to be off. And that's the other thing the Lord wanted me to really encourage you all. If you go on Blue Letter Bible, and I went to seminary, and that's one of the tools that they use, because not only does it have every available Bible version on that study tool, it also has lexicons. It has got concordances. It's got commentaries from biblical scholars. So it's a great tool as you are going out and doing the work of the ministry in that area. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that that your spirit and your presence just comes and just rests as a blanket upon those in this room, Lord God. You know, Father, I pray right now that you would just release your spirit in full measure. That, Father, as we wait upon you, Lord, as we bask in your presence, that you would show up, Lord God. Thank you for being in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your sweet presence, Lord God. Father, you said that those that seek you must worship you in spirit and in truth. And we bow before the presence of a holy God. We thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord. We exalt your name. There is none in heaven beside you and none on earth like you, Lord God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all you're doing and will do. We thank you, Father, that you will not forsake your children, that they will not go begging bread. I thank you that you give them a revelation. You're in covenant with them. It is a marriage. You don't neglect them, Father. Let them rest in that. Let them be confident in that, that you show up and show out. And sometimes it's at the 11th hour, and sometimes it's just in the nick of time, but you are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. Your name is faithful. And we worship you today for that, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for your holiness, for your purity, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for joy unspeakable released upon them here. Thank you, Father, for worshipers, true worshipers in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We bless you, Father. There's a song that's coming to me I want to play.
If you're in network marketing and you're not automating your...
We don't want a commercial. Hold on a second. Here we go. You just want to take it just a few moments and just get in the presence of God and just soak in there for a minute. Just cast all your cares on him. Can you hear that song? Walk out with what you come in with today. Just let it all go.
Anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere.
Pastor Larry, is there anyone there that needs ministry or prayer that we should be praying for? I feel like because you guys are the leaders there, the Lord really wants prayer, you know, to be answered for those that are in leadership so that they're built up, they're reinforced. If they're struggling with something, if there is anybody that needs prayer, maybe you guys want to do that after, but just to make sure that, you know, those that are in leadership are very well prayed over and really built up so that they can go out and do the work, you know, because the enemy's going to attack them the most. And the other thing I saw as we were just in worship is that I'm seeing that there's the anointing in your place. The increase of that as people are coming in and just feeling that presence of God and tasting that presence of God. Not only is there going to be that healing and deliverance as they're walking into your place, but you're going to begin to see that when they just get into the presence of God and just sit before the Lord, just like we are, they're going to go out, they're not going to want that other stuff. You know, they're going to get a taste of that holiness, that purity, and that presence. And once you taste God, you don't want to taste anything else. You lose an appetite. And I'm seeing that increase there, that anointing for the taste of God when people come in. So I don't know if there's anybody that needs prayer. If there's anything that, or if you guys want to do that, or however you want to lead that, I just wanted to open that up. Because I'm feeling almost emptied out here on my end. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add into this or. But God is in the midst of you. Be encouraged with that.
Actually, we need all the prayers that you can. Pray for us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for the ministry. I have a couple here. They've been married for more than 7 years, I believe, and they weren't able to conceive. You can pray for them.
Yes. Do you have oil?
Lovely. Okay. But pakilagay mo na yung sabi. And probably we can wrap up.
Okay.
Tayo kayo dito. Ayan, yan. Here they are.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.
The name of the girl, she's actually my niece. She's Sam. And her husband is Rowell.
Okay. So yeah, if you want to just take some anointing and oil and just place it on their foreheads and their hands, and I'll begin to pray.
Oil. Ano mo yung oil niyan, Mark? Ibuhos mo sa kanila. There's the oil.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, anoint their head and their hands. I'm praying. And if you can, once you're done putting the oil on them, just place your hands on their heads. Both of them, stand behind them. And just put like one hand on each of their heads. Is that better? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On the rabasha tarabaki terebesha karabasi tereya tarabakor rabasa tarabasi. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bind up infertility in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we cancel any assignments off their seed, off their lineage. We cancel any generational curses in the spirit, any genetic curses that have been passed down hereditarily. We cancel them in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray in the name and blood of Jesus that, Father God, that, Lord, and I'm seeing, Father, the uterus and the ovaries. We pray, Lord God, Father, that, Lord, there would be no issues with any endometriosis or any overgrown cells. We pray, Father, for just healing in the uterus, healing in the fallopian tubes, healing in the ovaries, Lord God, that you would open up her womb. Hallelujah. Open her womb, Lord God, so that she may receive the seed of her husband, Father. And we pray, Father, that you would multiply them, multitudes, Father, multiples, Lord God, in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for healing their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that, Father, their reproductive organs function in the manner that you have created them to. And, Father, you desire godly offspring. And, Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for healing. And, Father, Andarabaki Shakaravasi Tarabasi. I keep seeing a little boy. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, release him from heaven. Release that one from heaven, Lord God. And I pray for many more after, Lord God. Father, you said be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, Father. So we release that anointing of multiplication on this couple. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, by your stripes, they were healed. That as we lay hands on the sick, they recover. Their bodies are lining up in the manner you created it to. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, that you send your word and heal them and deliver them, Father. And, Lord, we just bind up this malady. We thank you, Father. That, Father, the perfect timing, Lord God, the perfect timing, Lord, for you to release, Father, babies in the earth, Lord God, for this couple to steward over and to raise up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, what I'm seeing is, because I kept seeing a little boy, and what I was seeing was you have, Timothy. And that's the first thing that came to me was Timothy. And Timothy was very young, but had a lot of wisdom, even more than the elders. The second thing that came to me was Samuel, how he heard from the Lord at a very young age. So, Father, we thank you for this. We receive your healing. We receive that child, that seed into her womb. We thank you for, Father, healthy conception, healthy pregnancy, healthy delivery, Lord God. And Father, brand new, Father, just the reproductive organs, Father, that you are regenerating and renewing and restoring. And we thank you, we bless you for it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Sister Jen, for ministering to us. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We appreciate your ministry.
God bless you all. And just stay in the fight of faith, you know? That's all we can do.
Thank you.
And thank you also for... probably we can... other meeting, probably... We'll just talk about it and we'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the ministry.
Okay. God bless you all. Love you.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. I will send you a copy of this recording, Pastor Larry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
God bless. See you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.